Ian Smith was captain when you first started playing for the first team, wasn't he?
He was indeed, yeah.
Tell us about him.
Ian Smith, quite a character really when I first come down here. But what I found with Ian is when he did speak, it was worth listening to. He was obviously playing for Scotland, captain of Gloucester, and you know he helped me a lot in my style of game and how to play the game. I think almost some would argue that he was in his time a little bit ahead of his time, the way he used to try and link up between the forwards and the backs, and that wasn't necessarily recognised at the time as an open side trait. But he did, and then with that you were able to sort of like play off him very well, and one of my strengths was carrying the ball, and he was very good at, you know, being the first one to the breakdown, being able to lay that ball up to you to be able to carry it on again. So yeah, it was a massive honour. You know, people like Ian Smith, Mike Hamblin, Mike Teague, all those players that I was fortunate to play under and play with, I just looked at it as an honour.
Tell us about Mike Teague.
Again, Mike Teague, what does that say about Mike Teague? You know, everybody knows Mike Teague. You know,
yeah, but most of us haven't played with him.
Exactly, but I was saying everybody knows what a legend he was playing for the Lions that Lions tour. But for me, it was the little things in a rugby match that he was able to just communicate the game. I think he played him when we drew 19-all. I can remember being in the middle of a mall, and it was at a time when he didn't really communicate, and then all of a sudden I had Mike on my shoulder telling me what to do and almost coaching me in the middle of a game, coaching me and advising me where to go, what to do next, and how to play that game. And that was one of the massive things that perhaps a lot of people didn't see with Mike, just how much he did help others around him. He was a phenomenal player in his own right and his own level, but it was also for me how he brought on other players around him and, you know, made other players play above their normal standard when he was on the park.
What was it about Mike Hamblin that caused you to mention his name?
I think Mike was captain when we toured America, and I had a lot of time for Mike with the way he captained the team. Very direct, very honest player. And it was when we toured America, there was probably a handful of us that were, you know, all kids or just joined the club. And he interacted really well with us, sometimes for the good, sometimes not for the good, because it's like anything, when you're 19, 20 and you're touring America, and you're touring America with a great big group of people, you're not with your parents, you're not being kept in check every second of the day. But then there are cases when you do need to be put in check, and Mike, didn't matter who you were or what seniority you were as captain, if Mike felt that you needed to be spoke to, he would speak to you. And you know, that went a long way in my eyes, a lot of respect for him, because whether it was one of us who was 18, 19 year old kid, or whether it was a senior player, somebody stepped out of line, Mike was the first one there to put him back in line again.
I've got here a list transcribed from the honours boards over in the Lions Den. This is the team from your first season, 1991-2. And if you'd just like to cast your eye down it and comment on any other of the players who leap out at you.
I think you've got Paul Ashmead, a fellow back row player who sort of like we rivaled a lot with, playing 6 and 7. Phenomenal player on the park, just a natural ball player. But I remember Paul for, I suppose, stories off the pitch, predominantly when we toured South Africa, Andrew Deacon was captain, and just, you know, little quips that he would come out with that just had everybody in hysterics. It was when Barry Corliss was our director of rugby, and everybody's trying to make an impression on Barry. He didn't know anybody. He'd come in from outside, he'd come in taking us. So we've toured South Africa, And the one day we're walking along the beach, and you've got the sea lapping up at our feet, and everybody's trying to impress him. And I can remember Paul coming up to him, tapping him on the shoulder, and said, "Hey, Pat." And I said, "Yes, boy." He said, "I've got to tell you, I do not feel good for this altitude training." And everybody just stood there, sort of like, and he was deadly serious. And then he sort of like jogged off. But Barry, to this day, didn't know whether he was 100% serious or whether he was pulling his leg. And, you know, there was all little things like that that Paul was always coming out with. You know, you'd go to play golf and you had the old saying, you know, who's going to go first, mugs away, and he would step forward and put his hand up and go, "I go first then." You know, and he'd just open himself up for that, and it was great for team morale. Obviously, you had Dave Sims, another phenomenal player. I was fortunate enough to play with Dave through Longleven's Colts as well, so I knew Dave very well, but just a massive influence, you know, a great leader when he captained the team. I think he captained Gloucester before and after I was captain, and just an easy person to get on with. Pete Jones, very, very hard prop, very direct again. Never used to say that much, but when he did open his mouth, it was worth listening to. Sam Masters, probably the second ugliest bloke to rival Mike Nichols. and I particularly remember Sam as one of the hardest players I think I'd ever come across with respect to. You know, every time he came off the park, he was cut, he was bleeding, he'd broken his nose, he'd done some injury, but he kept on going, you know. And you kind of learn a lot from players like that. You learn how to get your backbone, you learn how to, you know, when times are hard, you've got to keep going. Because you'd look at Sam and, you know, you might be losing, the fours might be on top of you, but he would still be fighting no matter, you know, how injured he was always there. Simon Morris, a very, very talented player, very quick. I still see him every now and again now. I still remember in a sevens game him going out onto Twickenham and throwing up right in the middle of the park, because he'd stuffed his face full of chocolate to try and give him an energy boost just before. That was always quite amusing. Who else? You know, just guys. Marcus Hannaford was another great player to play with. As a back row player, he was almost like another back row player with you.
He was a modern scrum half, wasn't he?
He was,
He'd have done well in the professional game with a physique like that.
He would have done very well in the professional game. You know, again, he was always talking, he was communicating, and as I say, when it needed to, he was another back row player. If somebody needed tackling or the ball needed taking on, he was always there to do it. I think if you go through all the players that I've played with over the years, that there's good points in everyone. It's hard to remember them all. Malcolm Creedy, you know, always the joker in the team as far as I'm concerned. You know, one of the hardest guys and played international rugby, but he'd be in the heat of a battle and he'd always come out with like a little joke, but in a scrum or in a ruck or in a wall, he'd come out with something so off the wall and comical, you know, and then off we go and you've got to try and refocus again. I think John Hawker, again, still very good friends with him. Well, I suppose that's the thing with all these guys, you know, we're talking about, you know, 20 odd years ago now. And one of the beauties with rugby and team sport is I know I could still see any one of those guys and have a pint with, and, you know, rely on them if I needed to. And back in that era, I think that was what Gloucester was all about, looking after one another. And, you know, it's pleased to say 20 years on, there's still that respect for one another. I mean, you know, recently at the sad attendance of John Brain's funeral, it was a little bit like this era reunion again, and the era before. And it's always sad because people say you only ever get together at funerals and weddings, which is very true, but it's a fact of life. But, you know, just about all of those guys that were on those team sheets now were all at John Brain's funeral, and you know, we had a bit of a pub call coming back down to reception here, and talking about the good old days and you know, the good times that we had, and the respect and the games that we had for one another.
Yeah.